Y'all know what time it is. Y'all might as well get with it.
Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I tell you, God is awesome. He is awesome. He is worthy to be praised. There is none like him. We give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise today just because of who he is. We thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his grace. We just thank him for looking upon us and just seeing something good in us. Hallelujah. So much so, loving the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love him. I love him. I love him all today. God is good and worthy to be praised. Well, it's Saturday. It's 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Anthony Simmons, we are here with the Woman to Woman to Man broadcast live on the air, moving forward by faith, knowing that God has called us to do this work, and we are determined to continue to broadcast. Broadcast actually means to sow seed, to cast our seed. We are determined to cast seed, amen, abroad. Everywhere that we go, we are sowing the seed of the word, sowing the seed of encouragement, sowing the seeds of enlightenment, sowing the seeds of hope, amen, knowing that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives us the power, who strengthens us. To God be the glory. So we are here, and we welcome you. We welcome all of our listeners. We thank you guys for being avid with us, for being here, for tuning in on Saturdays as we come before the Lord, as we come to share with each other here on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, we do come before the Lord here, even though it's not a preaching type venue. We're not here preaching on Saturdays. Well, Pastor Anthony preaches, y'all, but we preach on Wednesdays. If you ever want to join our worship service, we invite you to join us every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. God bless you in his presence. God bless you. It's good to see you. Happy New Year. Amen. God bless you in the chat room. It's good to see you and all of you on the phone lines. We invite you to join us on Wednesdays. And then today at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be doing a teleconference, Woman Power, Thou Shall Be Called Woman, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, January the 12th, 2013. I will be going live on that teleconference. You can call in and be a part of that. The call-in number is 605-477-3000. You can call in on that number. There is an access code. The access code is 876-591-pound. And we will only be there for about an hour and a half. I have a word that I want to bring forth. And also I will be opening the lines for prayer, amen, as God will lead me to pray for those who will want to have prayer at that time. So I'm excited about that. I'm really excited, and I pray that some of you will join me. If you are not a part of our Facebook group, we want you to like the Woman to Woman to Man show on Facebook, and you can go to facebook.com/womantowomantoman. facebook.com/womantowomantoman. We are a growing community. You will be kept abreast of all of the broadcasts, everything that's going on with the Woman to Woman to Man show. And we already have about 63 likes. Let's get it up to a million. Let's get it up to a million likes. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice, go over to Facebook and go to facebook.com/thewomantowomantoman show. Woman to Woman to Man. facebook.com/womantowomantoman, and like this page so you can be kept abreast of everything that's going on when we're on the air and what our show topics will be. Amen. Well, God bless you, Pastor Anthony. God bless you, honey. I see you here with us. I see your hand is raised. I'm going to just open up and let you step in.
Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Before I start talking, I need you to repeat that number and the access code again. You went kind of fast, and I know it's a woman-to-woman conference, but some men might sneak up in there. Can you repeat that information in a little slower with the access code?
Yes, Tuesday, on Saturday, January the 12th, 2013, I will be hosting a teleconference, Woman Power. Thou shalt be Woman Power. She shall be called Woman. Woman Power monthly call. She shall be called Woman. It's today at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is 605-477-3000. 605-477-3000. The access code is 876-591-pound. 876-591-pound. And we encourage all of the women to come and be a part of that. And like Pastor Anthony said, if the men sneak up in there, men, you don't have to sneak. You are welcome. This is a branch off of the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. Now, this is a group that the Lord birthed out of me, about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he told me to start the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. That's also on Facebook. I'm going to have to get my own web address for that group so that you can go right there and join. But if you type in Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, you will find us there. There are no dashes. You will see a lot of postings by myself and other women of power who are involved there. And I'm looking at the group now. I'm getting the request right now. And I'm just adding a new member to the group. There are about 537 members in that group. And what we do is encourage each other. We encourage each other to keep on keeping on. So anytime you need to be inspired, or if you want to inspire someone, come on over to the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group and put a post in or read some of the posts that are already there. There are a lot of conferences being made available, a lot of resources, empowerment resources that are being made available by some of the members there. There is always something going on that will bless you in the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. And being that we're on a 21-day fast with our church, New Creation Christian Ministries, I have been personally writing fasting reflections. We're on day 11. I've written up to day 10 that was posted on yesterday. So today I will be posting day 11. But every day as the Lord drops something into my spirit, I have been writing fasting reflections. And you can find those fasting reflections in the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. You can also find them on our church page, the New Creation Christian Ministries church page, which is also on Facebook. New Creation Christian Ministries church page is on Facebook. Again, you have to just type in, when you go to Facebook, just type in where it says search for people, places, and things. Type in New Creation Christian Ministries and like that page as well, which will keep you updated on everything that's going on in the church. So there's a lot going on. So far we have about 40 likes, and we want to encourage you. Let's take that to 1 million too. let's encourage you, because this is a ministry that's doing great things for the kingdom of God, and we want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing, because our job on this earth, our purpose, Pastor Anthony's and my purpose, is to sow the seeds of empowerment through the word of God, which is contained in the Bible, amen, and what God deposits in our spirit, we will gladly, and we are gladly, without cost, pouring out to all who will come. The table has been prepared, and we invite you to come. Amen. Is that good, baby?
Yeah, that's so much better. I just know God has placed a word in your spirit, and we're at the beginning of this new year, and God's going to use you mightily just in a few hours from now. But I'm excited. I heard you earlier saying I preach. No, I talk, but I just get excited about the word of God. And the Bible says he wished that we be hot or cold. And I don't want to become lukewarm.
Yeah,
I want to stay on fire for God. And I just thank God that, you know, it's amazing, as you said, we're here to sow seed. And I understand the power of words. And so do you, Pastor. There's so much negativity in our world. I'm just glad that we can come to this place and get an encouraging word, an edifying word, a word that educates us and challenges us, a word that will set us on the purpose of God. Because that's who it's all about, God. Well, only what you do for God will last.
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad he allows us to be stewards to some degree over his word. And I'm just glad that we can be a blessing to anybody.
Amen, amen. And like you were saying, a big part of what we do is education. And we want to educate to the best of our ability on topics that are really relevant, really relevant. And right now, Pastor Anthony, in my spirit, you don't know this because you're out, you went to work this morning, but there is a rape case in the news right now, and I actually titled today's show, How to Protect Your Child from Rape. There's a rape case in the news. A young lady went to a party, I think against her parents' wishes. I don't have all of the details, but the bottom line is that she was carried around from party to party by these two young men, and actually raped at these various different places. And there is a video on YouTube, a video going around, that these guys were actually laughing and joking after the fact about the fact that this girl had been raped, and they thought she was dead. And they said, she's deader than, you know, deader than dead. And the guy was really laughing and joking. People were laughing in the background, but he was so drunk that he was oblivious to the fact that he was being recorded. And he was being recorded talking about the fact that they raped this girl. And they said, we raped the girl. He said, we raped the dead girl. So he literally made a confession on videotape that's out there. I watched it all last night. That's out there for everyone to see about how they raped this girl. And from what I've heard, she was in a relationship. One of the guys says that she was in a relationship with him, with one of the guys that raped her. So this girl was, she does not know, she does not have any recollection of the events of that night, which means that they gave her some type of drug, maybe a date drug, was slipped into her drink. But I wanted to not necessarily talk about that case because, again, I don't have all of the facts, but I think some of the people that may call in today may have more facts than I do. But I wanted to talk about the importance of protecting our children from date rape, or protecting our children from rape, or protecting our children from molestation, protecting our children from the sexual sin that is so prevalent in this world. And I wanted to talk about that. I want to take a few minutes to Talk to parents out there, and I know we'll have different topics on today also, but I want to spend a few minutes talking about this because it really disturbed me when I saw the news. And then when I went to look for the story, because I haven't been watching a lot of TV this year because we've been fasting and consecrating ourselves and not really tapping into things that are going on in the world. I've been kind of what I like to call news numb. But somebody, Sister Daniela Brown, brought it to my attention. She talked about it on last week when she called in, and then we talked about it a little bit more on this week. And I said, let me Google this and see what's going on. And this happened in Ohio, and it seems like these guys, or at least some of the people involved, are athletes in Ohio. And they're saying that they're trying to protect these guys because they are star athletes. And the bottom line is it's getting ready to go to court, but they're actually having a hard time finding a judge, you know, to cover the case impartially. So there's a lot going on with this case. But at the end of the day, we have a young lady who was raped. And as I was looking to find the story, I Googled it, and I saw so many, I Googled girl rape. And as I was Googling girl rape, there were so many news stories out there about young girls, even some as young as 7 years old, some as young as 10 years old, being raped. And for some reason, this is not getting the attention that it needs to be getting. There's a group called Anonymous that actually brought this to the forefront and began to challenge the system and began to broadcast the details and began to bring some light to this whole case that I'm talking about in Ohio. But I want to challenge the parents out there to protect your children, your boys and your girls, from rape, from molestation, from date rape. I want to challenge you, and so many times we feel helpless, Pastor Anthony, at times like this, because our children do have to leave the house. You know, we're protecting our children in the house. We're providing a good climate for them in the house. But the truth of the matter is that our children have to leave the house. They have to go to school. They have friends. And we do want them to be socially active. We don't want to put our children in prison. But by the same token, it is necessary for us to put a hedge of protection around our children. Now, there are several ways that we can do that. The most important thing that we can do for our children is pray. Prayer is the most important thing that we can do for our children, to cover our children. And Pastor Emily does that so well. While we are yet sleeping, and he gets up early in the morning, while we are yet sleeping, he gets up and he covers the family in prayer as he goes before the Lord daily for himself. He covers our family in prayer. So I want to exhort you to cover your children, your grown children, and your young adolescent children, to cover them in prayer. Cover your children in prayer. The Bible tells us that we are blessed and our seed is also blessed. We have inherited the blessings of Abraham. And under the covenant of that blessing, not only are you blessed, but your children are blessed. And I challenge you to declare, my seed is blessed, on a daily basis, to declare that your seed is blessed. Don't be like Job. Job went to God on the behalf of his children, whom he knew that his children were out there doing the wrong thing, but Job went with trembling and in fear, and he prayed, and he said, God, I repent on the behalf of my children, the sins of my children. But Job had a fear that something horrible was going to happen to his kids. Don't go in fear. Go in confidence of the word of God, which tells you that your seed is blessed. Go in faith, knowing that God is covering you and your seed. Amen. So go knowing that your seed is blessed. And if your children are out there doing all kinds of craziness, still declare over the life of your children, that the lives of your children, that your children are indeed blessed. God said it, and we have to take God at his word. Amen. Another thing that you can do other than prayer is bring your children up in church. Bring your children up in church. Take your children to church and get them involved in the things of God. Your children, if there is not a children's church, don't let your children sleep through the word. Even if they're sitting in the big congregation with the grown folks, make sure they are attentive to that word, because that word is not going to come back void. That word is not going back to God void. That word is going to help your children to be nurtured and to grow. For instance, in our church right now, we're trying to reinstitute. We're right now, not trying, but right now we're reinstituting children's ministry in our church. And in our church, for about 6 months, we have not had children's church. Now, I have a grandson, Joshua, who has been diagnosed as autistic. And you look at Joshua, he moves a lot. You know, he has what they call a noisy body. So he's constantly rocking and fidgeting. And Joshua used to make hand motions. But we declare that Joshua is healed. We don't claim that diagnosis of autism over his life, although we educate ourselves on the symptoms and some of the prognosis and some of the remedies that can be applied to him for the autism, but we do not claim it over his life. But we do take preventative measures, amen, along with prayer to break that curse of autism off of his life, because we know that our children are blessed. So, and our seed is blessed. So he cannot be walking up under a curse, even though it appears that way. Amen. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So Joshua sits in the service. His mother used to allow him, have him to go in the back and close himself off in the fellowship hall by himself, and he would be busy by himself, because children who are diagnosed with autism like to be by themselves. So my daughter would let him go in the back and be by himself. But I and my husband started having him come out and sit in the service. And as he has been sitting in the service, Joshua will praise the Lord. Joshua will clap in praise when he hears a word. Joshua will get excited. He will start rocking like crazy when the word is being preached. And now we're teaching him to be still, to have a still body, a quiet body, as the word comes forth, and he is receiving that word, because God's word will not come back to him void. We declare and decree that Joshua is not normal, but he's above normal, amen, because he is saved and he has a supernatural God living on the inside of him. And greater is he on the inside of him than he that is in this world. You have to hear God on today, amen. So sow the word. Sow the word into the lives of your children. And finally, I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Anthony before I give some more input on this. But communication. Communication is so important. Talk to your children. Keep the lines of communication open with your children. And if you don't have biological children, adopt a child. Get a child and be a big brother, be a big sister to that child. Help that child to be more than a conqueror in life. Help to protect that child. get a bunch of children. You might be called to minister to children in this area, to mentor children, to keep our children safe. You might think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm helping you. I'm telling you, you can do something. You can get, even if you don't have children, even if your children are grown, you can get your grandchildren or get your nieces, get your nephews, get some neighborhood children, sit them down and begin to pour into these children. By way of communication, communicate with these children. Tell them, pay attention in church. Pay attention to what your parents are telling you. Don't disobey your parents. Obey your parents. If your parent tells you not to go to that party, don't go to the party. If your parent tells you not to go to that boy's house, don't go to that boy's house. And go a step further. Tell your child what can happen to them if they find themselves caught up in the wrong place. I write about this in in the Cry of a Woman's Heart. When I was about, 13, 14 years old, I was molested. I was molested by an older boy who stripped me of my virginity. I told him no, but I was in the wrong place. My mother had told us not, they had gone now, told us lock the door, don't let nobody in. And we were at my friend's house, and my mother and her mother had gone out together. They had gone out drinking or something, partying. And they told us, lock the door, don't let nobody in. Now, these boys were watching. They saw my mother leave. They came knocking on the door. We let them in. We let the boys in, and we messing around, kissing and carrying on with these older boys. They were like 19 years old. And the boy that I was with in the bathroom wanted to take it a step further. I told him no, and he did not listen to my no. You know, so literally he raped me. He went ahead and did what he had to do. And after that, I'm a silly young girl, did not know that I had been raped, didn't know that I had been raped. The boy told me, don't tell nobody, told me I was his girl, I was his girlfriend, but nobody could know about it, and began to continue to perpetrate his mess in my life to the point where one day he told me not to go to school, meet him at his house. Went to his house and got in the bed and then took off my clothes, silly girl, thinking it was me and him. But then I look up and there are more boys. He sends in his brother, his friends are there. There are about five boys, and they all had the intention of having sex with me. They thought I was what the girls would call some jump off or some hop. And they had the intentions of having sex with me. All of these older boys, I don't even know who they were. If you asked me, I couldn't tell you on today. I just know it was that one boy. I know his name today and his brother. And I told them no. In no uncertain terms was they going to have sex with me. Thank God I wasn't drinking. I wasn't high on anything, so I was in my right mind. And I said, no, you're not going to do anything to me, because I thought this was my boyfriend, you know. And I was so hurt, just really, really hurt. But I said, no, you're not doing anything to me. I looked in the corner, and I saw some shoes in the closet, some women's pumps, some heels, high heel shoes, like my mama's. And I said, you know what, y'all better not touch me. If anybody touches me, I am not leaving this bed. I will stay in this bed butt naked until your mother comes home, because I know this is your mother's room, because I see her shoes in the closet. I said, you're not going to be able to get me out of here. You're going to have to drag me out naked into the hallway, and I will stay right in the hallway until somebody, your parents come home, until your mother comes home. I knew they had a mother. They didn't know they had a father, because I didn't have a father in the house. But I knew they had a mother. I'm going to stay right here until your mother comes home. Them boys gave me my clothes, insisted I got dressed, and got me up out of here, and that was the end of that story for them. But it wasn't the end for me, because it messed me up. It messed me up. For years, I walked with my head held down. shame and guilt, condemnation, didn't think much of myself, no self-esteem, thought I was ugly, felt dirty. How could that happen to me? But it happened. As we're seeing in the news on today, it happened. And I want to encourage you, tell your children your stories. Tell them your stories. I wrote it in the book, My Life is an Open Book. And the devil was always trying to make me feel ashamed. What are people going to think? What are they going to say? What is your husband going to think? Well, you know what? The devil is already defeated. He's under my feet. He's a liar. Amen. I love my husband. My husband loves me. We both have a past. And he knows that I use my past to help others, to help other women, to help other girls, to not walk into the same traps of the devil that I walked into. I didn't have anybody to tell me this stuff. Talk to your blue in the face. Do like I do. Even when it seems like no one is listening, keep talking. Talk to your children. Talk to your young girls. Talk to your sons. Tell them, look, you can get raped. Look, you can say no, but you will lose control because if they want to, the boys are stronger than you, and if they want to, they can take your virginity. They can take what's between your legs. They can take it. And boys, you know, if they're not thinking straight, boys, that hormone called lust, my God, sometimes they can't even control themselves. The devil gets up into some of these boys. When I looked at that boy, he was drunk, talking crazy, talking stupid. The devil was up in that boy. The devil gets up into them boys, and they start thinking with the wrong head. They're not thinking straight. All they're thinking about is the fact that they have to satisfy a lust that they have, and they're out of control. Young boys cannot control that kind of lust. That's why the Bible tells us, do not awaken lust, love. Do not awaken love before it's ready. Don't awaken it too soon, you know. So communication, God bless you. And I see you in the chat room in his presence as she ministers to her grandchildren about this all of the time, that we have to constantly minister to our children and, you know, pray that they will listen. Prayer, communication. And what was the other one I said? Take them to church, prayer, communication, church. Those are just three. I'm going to let Pastor Emily talk, and then we're going to take some calls. Amen.
Amen. It's amazing what you're talking about today. A lot of people probably can't relate to this topic because, you know, years ago, Pastor, it was taboo to even talk about rape, incest, molestation, those things we wanted to brush under the rug. But now people really want to be healed and delivered. What you shared today was just so powerful because sometimes we don't think our A student girls.
Yeah.
We don't think our little pretty, little precious jewels can find themselves in a compromising position. But guess what? They're young ladies sometimes and they fall for the wrong guys. And even the young men, their peer pressure placed on them and put on them to do things that they're not proud of. But after the fact, it's too late.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart from it.
Yes.
And Pastor, you said it so vividly, so candidly. We got to talk to our teenagers. We have to talk to our college students. We got to talk to our young people. And again, it does not have to be your birth child. We have four children and we have four grandchildren. They know our stories. They know details. Sometimes we used to have the shame and the guilt and the uncomfortableness of certain things in our past. But the only way some people cannot repeat what we've been through is to put it out there like that. And I'm so glad that the Bible says, glory be to God, that if we cover our children, the Bible says, I've never seen a righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread.
Wow.
In other words, that's why we pray over our children. That's why we plead the blood over their lives. That's why we have a heart to heart with them. I was on a college campus, and you'll be amazed at what goes on in the institutions of higher education. You'll be amazed that goes on, that go on at these parties, these suburban households, where the liquor is just flowing like water, where the parents are saying, I'm going to let my young people do whatever they do as long as it's under my roof. And again, we don't need to know the details of this story, but from what I understand, it's a powerful athletic town where a lot of the football players, a lot of the prestige of the township comes from the football program that's in that township. And they are trying to protect their reputation of the one thing that they're proud of at the expense of this young lady. And how often does that happen, people of God? So we're going to talk about some more topics today, but I'm glad we're hitting this nail on the head, Pastor, because a lot of women who you talk to as you minister, as you go forward, they're 60 and they're 70 years old and they're crying out and wailing out. I never told anybody this weight and this burden that's been on me for years. I never shared certain things with anyone. And we want to be proactive. We want to share preventative measures today. We want you, like we, to talk to your children, talk to your little cousin, talk to your niece and your nephews. Tell them that they're valuable to God. And tell them not to find themselves in a position where they can be taken advantage of. So we got to, as you said earlier, I don't want to repeat what you said, but we have to communicate. Pastor, it's something so large that people think they can't handle it. Because culturally, it's accepted. Culturally, sex is out of control outside of God. Culturally, through our music, through our television, through what we read, this spirit is just part of what we're living. Yeah. And we've got to combat it to the best of our degree and say, no, devil, not my children, not the ones that come across my path. If I can save just one young lady, I'm going to do it. If I can save one young man, I'm going to do that. If I can just, glory be to God, minister to those God will put in my care, I'm going to do my part. So we want to challenge you today. Yes, you're going to be uneasy. Yes, it's not a comfortable topic, but talk to your young teenagers. Talk to your young men and tell them you're better than that. Hallelujah.
Yes, and that's good. You just hit on something that,
culturally,
awesome.
We're a sick society.
Yeah, culturally. That's why it's so important to raise your child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that's something else you hit on, too. Tell your child and tell these young children in your life, because I'm challenging everybody listening to go out there and make a difference in the life of some young person. You know, just everybody, all of us have an obligation, even the children in our church, you know, that we have to begin to speak to them and talk to them about real life, because they are experiencing real life on Twitter. They're experiencing real life on Instagram. They are experiencing real life. You know, they don't even need TV anymore. Everything that they need is at their fingertips on the computer.
On the phone.
So talk to your child. And then one thing you talked about was to validate your child's, that your young person's self-worth.
Yeah.
A lot of these young girls will do stuff because they don't have a covering. Like I said, my father walked out when I was 10 years old. He was a horrible father, and he admitted to that before he passed from this earth, as he apologized to us. He was a lousy husband, a horrible father, and he left us uncovered. And because he left, I thought I wasn't pretty enough. I thought it was my fault that he left. And because he left, I went looking for love in all of the wrong places. And that is a part. That was the beginning of my dilemma when my dad walked out, when daddy walked out, you know, but I couldn't stay stuck there, but I was in quicksand at that age until about the age of 33 years old. That's why I'm telling you it's so important that we begin now to make a difference in the lives of these young people. Don't let some young person in your life have to stumble through life getting hooked on drugs and alcohol as a result of being raped. While I was looking this thing up, I saw that one girl was raped when she was 10 years old. And she said she was raped at 10 years old. And because of that, today now she's a prostitute. Today now she's a porn star. Today now she's a drug addict. All of that because she never was able to deal with the pain from her past, the pain and the shame of being raped at the age of 10. No, she couldn't deal with it because she was too young. I mean, 10 years old is too young to process, you know, something like that happening to you. But if you are a young person and you're uncovered, that's why fathers, you have to cover your children. That's another point, covering. Cover your daughters, dads. Fathers, cover your daughters, cover your sons. Mothers, cover your daughters, cover your sons. But a mother can't be a mother and a father. I mean, if we have to, but God didn't plan it that way. So cover your children. Cover them. Stay in your children's lives. That's why marriage is so honorable unto God, because it brings forth godly seed. Amen. And if you cover, if we do it right, then God can get the glory and we can change this thing. Amen. I believe we can make a difference. Cover these young people. And if you're a man and you know a young person who does not have a father, be a covering for that young person. If you know a boy, because our boys need to be trained up. Our boys need to be trained up to respect girls, to respect girls. I heard somebody in the video say, what if that were my, I have a little sister, man, and what if that were my little sister? What if that were your sister? You know, what if that were your sister? What if that were your daughter? You know, and we need to train boys to respect girls, not just as a piece of meat, you know, but to respect them. Again, you said society. The TV, the radio, the internet, they perpetuate a whole nother image. And there's no respect being portrayed out here by the media for the opposite sex, for girls, for women. So I want to encourage you to cover the young people. Parents, know where your children are. If they say they're going to a party, check up on them. Know where they're going. I don't let my kids spend the night anywhere but other than at my daughter's house. There are no sleepovers. There are no sleepovers. And I'm at home. Thank God I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. But if you can't stay at home, check in with your children. Check their cell phones. Check their Twitter accounts. See who they're talking to. See what they're talking about. You have to be strict. Check their rooms. You know, see what's going on in their lives. Amen. So I want to encourage you that we can protect our children. We can protect our young people. We're going to take some calls. Pastor Anthony, wait, before he says a few more minutes. So in a few more minutes, we'll be taking some calls. But if you know somebody that has young people, we want to encourage you to come back, to tell them to come back and listen to the archives, because we're giving some real information on today about how to protect young people. And even for those young people who are listening today, there are some teenage girls who are listening. There's some teenage boys who are listening. You're listening to the archives. You're listening live. I want to encourage you, teenagers, listen, don't do things that are sneaky, because it's the devil that makes you sneak around. It's the devil that makes you disobey your mom and disobey your dad. Anytime you have to break the rules, anytime you have to sneak around and do something, anytime you have to sneak and meet some boy, is guaranteed that your life or your virginity or your sexuality or your self-esteem is in danger. You, when you sneak around, young person, whether it's a young girl or young boy, you are putting yourself in harm's way. When your parents tell you don't do this and don't do that, they're telling you for a good reason, because they want to keep you from being hurt. They want to keep you from being raped. They want to keep you from being molested. They want to keep you from being taken advantage of by some older person who's conniving and scheming on how to have their way with you, how to have sex with you. So I want to encourage you, young people, listen to your parents. Listen to your pastors. Listen to your aunts and your uncles. Listen to those people that are talking, and it seems like they are, it seems like Charlie Brown's teacher sometimes, like, wow, they're getting on your nerves, but they are trying to protect you. They are trying to keep you from suffering through life, trying to keep you from having unnecessary pain in your life. So I encourage you, listen to your parents, amen. And another thing about how to keep our children from getting raped, watch who you bring into your home. If you have little children, if you have children, you can't just go out and bring Tom, Dick, and Rabu into your house, because you, especially if they're going to start sleeping in your house. And I know this is a Christian show, and we're not supposed to sleep with anybody until we get married. But the truth of the matter is a lot of Christians are sleeping around.
Shacking.
A lot of Christians are shacking up. A lot of Christians are jumping from bed to bed. And it's not supposed to be that way, but it is that way. And if you have children, I want to encourage you, don't bring that mess home. Don't bring it home. Protect your children, boys and girls, because you got some perverts out there that will date you just because you have kids. And this is for the men, too, if you're taking care of young children. There are some people out there that would date you just because you have children, but they really don't want you. They're setting you up so that they can have access to your children. They don't like adult meat. They want young children's meat. They want kids. And there are people that will set you up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Black People Meet. They will set you up, find out if you have children, if you have small children, how many kids you have, and then they will find a way to find themselves shacking up in your house with your children, with access to your children. And then when you're sleeping, they will be creeping, trying to take advantage of your kids. Protect your children. No, you can't just bring. I was single for many years after I separated from my first husband, because I have been molested also. See, I'm talking truth. I'm talking from facts. So, and I knew that some men can't be trusted at night when you're sleeping. And I was drinking and I was getting high. But I thank God for the grace to know, don't bring the men home. You have a young girl. You have a daughter. So I didn't bring men home. And for many years, I stayed single on purpose. And if I did sleep with somebody, and I did sleep around because I wasn't saved, didn't know no better, but if I did sleep with somebody, it was not in under my roof. You hear what I'm saying? Protect your children from these pedophiles, from these rapists, from these molesters. Protect your children. Pastor Emily, I'm going to give it back to you. And then in a few minutes, we're going to see your hand, caller. We're going to put you on the air. We want to talk about this. I know it's not a popular topic, but we're not here to be popular. We're here to be relevant, and we're here to be effective. So we're talking about some. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. Protect your children. Help us to help protect some young person. Amen. A lot of us here today have testimony of how we were raped, molested, abused. And let me just say this while I'm talking about this. If you were raped, molested, or abused, I want to make a statement, and it's a bold statement, and it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you were raped, molested, or abused, it's time to break the shackles today. Because it was not your fault. It was not your fault. If you said no, if you were in a compromising position, if you were disobedient to your parents like I was and put yourself in a position, yeah, it was your fault for putting yourself, it was your fault that you put yourself in that position, but it was not your fault if you were raped.
Even grown women.
Grown women, adults, teenagers, whatever age it may have happened, it wasn't your fault. No means no. N-O, it still means no. If you said no, or even if you did not say no, if you just said stop, if you resisted and they went anyway, it wasn't your fault. If it was an authority figure in your life and you didn't even have the nerve to say no and you're feeling guilty, stop it. Stop feeling guilty today. It wasn't your fault. So we're going to, I'm going to give it back to Pastor Anthony, amen, but I want to break that shackle of guilt and shame off of your life today. Stop holding your head down. It wasn't your fault. You're not dirty. You're not worthless. You're not nothing. You're not a dirty dish rag to be used up as somebody's sperm bag, amen. We can stop that. Let's break that curse today. You are the blessed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord. So if it happened to you and this is a sensitive issue, I want to help you today to get healed. By his stripes, you are healed. If something bad happened in your childhood, I want to help you today to get healed. By the stripes of Christ, you are healed. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, even if you wanted to, even if it felt good. Hear me on today, because you were born for when somebody begins to meddle in that area for it to feel good. Even if it felt good, it was not your fault. Stop feeling guilty. Stop feeling ashamed. God made you to have certain sensations when certain parts of your body are touched, to be stimulated. Even if you were stimulated to the point of going along with it, it wasn't your fault. You were taken advantage of. You were a victim. And because you were a victim does not mean you have to stay a victim. You are no longer a victim. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are the top and not the bottom. You are above and never beneath. All of that old stuff has passed away. You are not even the same person. If you have been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of God, you are not even that person anymore. All of that stuff has been passed away. Sins that you committed and sins that were committed against you have been put into the sea of forgetfulness, huh? Hallelujah. You are free in Christ and free indeed. Break the shackles off. And this is if anything bad happened in your past. You are set free from your past by the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed for you to have life, new life, and life more abundantly. You are a new creation through Christ Jesus, huh? Hallelujah.
Amen. What a powerful topic, and I know we're moving in a whole other direction. Those of you who are regulars, maybe this is not your experience. Maybe you can't relate, but maybe you know somebody that can. Tell them we record all of our broadcasts. Tell them there's a powerful broadcast I need you to listen to. Total deliverance, total healing. They're touching some things that you can relate to. And give them this number. Give them the archive information. Pastor, you said something earlier about sometimes people think you're an overprotective parent.
Yes.
Is there such a thing in this day in which we're living? I don't think so. No, we can't watch our children 24/7. Yes, they're going to make mistakes. Yes, they're going to err. I'll be 50 years old, and I made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Yes.
Some I regretted. But I thank God for the blood of Jesus.
My God.
That's why the Lord's Prayer says, forgive me as I forgive others. Because some of us had to go to God for forgiveness. And we now got to go to God to help forgive other people.
My God.
That means people of God, you got to forgive that perpetrator. You have to forgive that pedophile. This girl is going to have to forgive those boys, regardless of the outcome of the case, for her to move on with her life. Pastor, it's amazing that you said it, because I read a book by Nathan McCall, Makes Me Want to Holler.
Makes Me Want to Holler.
And he addresses this issue. Growing up in the hood, growing up, him and his boys did something that he was not proud of. But he became a journalist, and he shared the story of gang rape. And he tried to do something about it. He became an advocate against it. So did Oprah Winfrey. She talked about molestation and put it on a worldwide scale where Dr. Phil and so many others addressed it. But for those who can't afford therapy, for those who doesn't want to make it public or go to a pastor or go to a counselor. We're here to tell you, you can go to God.
Yes.
You can go right to the source and say, Lord, I need you to help me get over this hurdle. Because you said people are getting high. They're shooting heroin in their arms. They're drinking alcohol like they know there's no tomorrow. And you don't just become an addict. You don't just become an alcoholic. You don't just become mean and angry for no reason. Sometimes there are issues like we're talking about today that people can't seem to get past. And I'm here to remind you that, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, that God is able.
Yes.
Regardless of who you are, God is able. And parents, we want to speak parent to parent. There's no such thing as an overprotective parent. Talk to your children. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I just preached from the adulterous woman, the woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. And they brought her, saying, we caught her in the very act. The devil tried to create shame in this woman's life. The devil tried to give her a reputation in the community. The devil tried to make her feel so low and so unworthy. But Jesus said, where are those who condemn you? Because he said, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone at her. And the Bible says, one by one, after he wrote on the ground and stood up, one by one, they all walked away, because we all have fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And just like that adulterous woman, Jesus said, they don't condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. And no matter how horrific your past have been, beloved, God does not condemn you. But if you need help, go seek help. We want to take callers. Area code 908, we see that hand. We want you to share your heart today and tell us what's on your mind. We may change gears in the second hour of the broadcast, but we needed to address this issue with this story that's hot on the news. Yes, caller.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. This is all Sister Daniela calling.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
God bless. I agree everything that y'all were saying. I agree everything. What was going on with the 16-year-old girl, and with, you know, the parents need to be a little bit more stricter with their kids. I agree with that. And also, a lot of parents need to start telling their daughters, their teenagers, that how beautiful they are and how adorable they are. Because if they don't, a predator is going to tell, an older predator or pedophile is going to tell a daughter that. And I think that's a good thing to tell teenagers, that they're beautiful and that they could do anything. Because if you don't, somebody else will.
Yes, that's an excellent, excellent point. Pour into your child's self-esteem and tell that daughter how beautiful she is. Mm-hmm. Tell that son how handsome he is. Because the truth of the matter is that there are men out there, too, who are looking to have sex with these boys. There are teachers that are having sex with boys and girls, even in the schools. You know, so there's no... There's no line that this thing called rape and molestation and incest won't cross. So that's a very good point. Validate your child's identity. You know, let them know that they are beautiful, that they are valuable, that they are precious, that they are handsome, that they are smart, that they are somebody. That's very good. Excellent point.
Yes. I also wanted to say, too, you know, I was also a victim. I was molested, and I was mentally and physically abused by relationships in the past. And when I was growing up in my home, I never got that from my mother, you know, and my stepdad. They never told me that, you know, oh, I love you, or you look beautiful. And, you know, that's what a parent's supposed to do. But I was like, you know, things that happened to me at 13 when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old, and 16, I started going into, like, depression because I never was, you know, taught to love myself as a young lady, you know. And if there's any teenagers listening now, just take heed to what Pastor Anthony is saying, because if you don't listen, the devil's going to be out there to try to destroy you. But you need to take heed to what the pastors are telling you, because they're not, you know, they're not there to harm you. They're there to help you, and they love you. Amen?
Yes. Amen, amen. And that, you know, that's why I pretty much, as we were talking to this show is twofold. One, to protect our children, and also for us to begin to heal, to continue to heal. Because a lot of women and men have gone through this thing, and we kept it quiet. And I believe that every time you say, I was molested and this happened to me, that that's another part of your healing. You know, it just helps you to begin to get healed, to know, like, because the devil wants to sweep it under the rug and make it seem like it's the worst thing that could have happened to you. And if you tell anybody that this thing happened to you, they're going to look at you like the dirt under their feet. And we have to get to the point where we realize that, no, we're not the dirt under somebody's feet, and that this thing that happened to us does not validate us, nor does it invalidate us. It's something that happened in life. So I thank God for you, Sister Daniela, coming to the forefront saying, this happened to me. You know, this happened to me. And I pray that God continues to heal you. Healing is a process, but it starts with speaking up, saying, you know, you want to know what's wrong with me? You want to know why I trip sometimes? You want to know why I flip back and forth like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? It's because I got issues that are unresolved stemming from my childhood. When I was a child, certain things happened to me, and I have never been able to talk to anybody about it. So, you know, we get to the point where we can share our experiences with each other, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to stand up like they do with Alcoholics Anonymous and say, my name is such and such, and I am an alcoholic. But I don't know why they call it Alcoholics Anonymous, because after a certain point, it got to be like I was. With us, it's like, my name is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I was a victim. I was molested, but I'm no longer a victim. Amen. I am now victorious. Amen. You got to get to the point where you're not just saying this happened to me, but we got to get to the point where saying, my name is Sister Daniela Brown, and I am an overcomer. Amen. Mm-hmm. I was a victim, amen, of molestation. I was a victim of rape, but now I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Begin to change our stand on that, to say, this happened to me, but it does not make me who I am. It does not deter from your value. So I thank God for you, and I thank you for calling in and letting your voice be heard.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. I wanted to say one more thing. I'm sorry. I agree with you.
Sister Daniela, hold on. I see your hand, caller. We're going to put you in the air right after this call. Go ahead, Sister Daniela.
Okay. I agree everything that you were saying. You know, on top of that, it takes time to be healed, and it's a process. You know, it may take longer for others, and it may take shorter for others. But the thing also, too, is I want to share with, you know, people that are listening, you know, I was always smacked around by my stepdad. You know, every time he would get angry, he would just, like, smack me in my face. But, you know, I found that later on he was always, you know, getting high, smoking weed all the time. And sometimes he would do this in front of my mother. My mother wouldn't do anything.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's probably why, you know, today I'm like, you know, I'm not feeling, like, down anything. It's just, like, sometimes I can be off the hook sometimes. You know, I'm not perfect. I do love my husband, and like you said, it takes time, you know, to be healed from things.
Yeah, and that's why you go off, because you're not healed. You know, that's
right.
Why you go off on him sometimes. You're angry, and your anger is not necessarily at him. He may have done something to trigger the anger that's deep down on the inside of you. Dr. Clarence Shea wrote a book called Soul Holes, Healing the Soul Holes. And that book, and she did a broadcast here too. I don't know if you can listen to the archives, but you go back, Conquering Soul Holes. That really is a hole in your soul. It's a rip in your soul, something that happened so long ago, and you never got total resolution from it. And you're right. Healing is a process, and it starts, like I said, with
things.
Two, it starts with acknowledging that you need help. 3 with going, like Pastor Emily said, going to get the help that you need. Sometimes it's through a counselor's couch, sometimes through a pew in the church, a pastor's pew. Amen. Sitting in the church, hearing the word of God, because the word of God will wash away all of the pain. You'll be healed. He sent his word and healed them. Amen. So you'll be healed through the word. And then continually the group therapy helps, getting in the group of people who have gone through the same thing that you have. But making the steps towards healing is so important to you, to take the steps. A huge part of that, and what we teach, is forgiveness. When you forgive your stepfather and those people that have hurt you, a huge part of your healing is going to be by forgiving the people that did this thing to you. So I don't know if you've forgiven in your heart, but releasing them through saying, I forgive. And the forgiveness is a choice. It's very hard to do. You got to realize they don't deserve to be forgiven. What they did to you was horrible. And they messed you up. Those are all truths. The final truth is, yes, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Yes, they really did something horrible to you. Yes, they messed you up. But the final truth is that if you don't forgive, you will continue to be in bondage to the people that hurt you. And you deserve to be set free from your prison. You deserve to be free. So when you forgive them, you're not only setting them stuff free, you're not only setting them free, but more importantly, you're setting yourself free. So you have to choose to forgive. I forgive them for what they did to me, and then let it go, and then let it go. And when the devil tries to make you angry about it again, say, no, I forgive them, and just continue to make that declaration, I forgive them, and at the same time say, God, please take away the pain of what happened to me. Take away the pain of me being slapped around. Take away the pain of me being molested. Take away the pain of me being rejected. God, please take away the pain. And God will, if you pray that, he will take away the pain supernaturally. You will be amazed if you pray it by faith. You will be amazed at how God will heal you. So keep listening and keep coming, and God's continuing to heal you through this process. It is a process. So God bless you. We're going to take this next caller for area code. God bless you, Sister Daniela. Thanks for calling in.
God bless.
Amen, amen. Area code 908. Your hand was raised. I don't know if you still wanted to be on the air. Your mic is open.
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. Amen.
I just want to, first of all, do you hear me?
Yes. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony Simmons. I just wanted to say that this is a very important topic. I'm glad that you're talking about it, because we need to challenge not only parents. We need to challenge the females, or rather women. I mean, what took place with that 16-year-old teenager, I think, was terrible. The fact that she was taken advantage of, mentally she wasn't capable of handling herself. And this is why parents, this is why females got to be more careful in terms of who they associate themselves with and how they carry themselves. Because when you sell yourself short and you don't get the self-love, this is what my wife mentioned, Daniela talked about, and you're always being disrespected in front of whether it be the mother or other females, what that says is that makes you look weak. And it's easy for, of course, that male, whether it be the athlete or whoever, to take advantage and say, you know what, I'm gonna get my boys on her because of the simple fact that she's weak. I can take advantage of her. You follow what I'm saying? I did some things when I was younger, but I never did any horrible things like that. And I wasn't always proud of my upbringing, but I thank God that I was able to learn from other people's lessons and so on, because I can recall having a babysitter. And I don't know if I mentioned this before. When I was a teenager, my mother had her girlfriend's sister babysit me and my brothers, and every so often, she was like 5 years older than me. She used to fool around with me, and I didn't know what I was doing sexually, which probably had to do with a lot of why I was you know, active at a young age. You know, and which, you know, got me in trouble sort of way, you know, later on with the females that I were messing around with, but it's not something that I'm proud of, again, as I said before, but females need to be challenged whether they're in school, in church, whatever, in terms of the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. Somebody has got to step up and say, you know what, that's not right, because I've done it when I was at work. I've had a couple of females in school, in my classroom, dressed in a certain way, carrying a certain way, and I said, you wonder why the boys don't respect you, because of the way you carry yourself. So,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Now,
can you be more specific about the manner of dress? What are you saying about the way that they dress?
What I'm saying, Pastor Rebecca, I'm not saying that they can't dress a certain way, but if I'm a parent, and which I got two daughters of myself, and sometimes I wonder about them, because they're going to be teenagers soon, within a few months or so. But what I'm saying to you is that they should not be dressing like they're tricks or holes in the street. They shouldn't be wearing short skirts. If you have a dress code, why come to school dressed that way? You know you got perverts out there, and I'm not saying they can't dress the way they want to dress, but I think as a parent, as a mother, you should challenge it, or somebody should challenge it in school.
Yes,
or you shouldn't come to God's house dressed in a certain way because you're looking for attention.
Yes. Yeah, and that's it.
All of
exactly.
These things play an important role and I'm not saying that it's right that they violate them. Excuse me, my voice is loud. I get carried away. When I'm talking sometimes, I don't realize I get too loud, but I'm so amped because this is a needed subject that we need to talk about. We need to address.
I want to say you bring up a very good point about how our girls are dressing. Now, let me just clarify this off the top. Just because a girl is dressed a certain way does not give any boy or man the right to violate her.
I just want
to just clarify that off the top. You know, she could be, it doesn't matter what she has on. She's,
mm-hmm.
but by the same token, not but. Okay, let me just say, does not matter what she wears, it does not give a man a right to rape her. That used to be
an old argument.
They'll use that argument in court, too. Say, look, she had on these hot pants.
Mm-hmm.
She had on these short shorts and this little thing covering her, barely covering her bosom. You know, she was naked almost, you know, and I couldn't help myself. They will use that in court. Listen
mm-hmm.
to me, women. Men are the judge. The lawyers or defense will use that in court and say
mm-hmm.
you asked for it because you were dressed a certain way, which brings us all back full circle. At the same token, especially the people of God, have to be very conscious and about
mm-hmm.
how we are dressing. Women hate this when I start talking about the way women should dress. I agree with you, my brother, that we should not be showing the top of our breasts. We should not be wearing skirts and pants so tight that it leaves nothing to the imagination. We
mm-hmm.
women should be dressing modestly. The Bible tells us to clothe ourselves in modest attire.
That's right.
To clothe ourselves in modest attire. And the thing about it is the church is wearing clothes that the world is wearing. We're supposed to come out from the world and be an influence
mm-hmm.
on the world as the church. But what's happening is the world seems to be influencing the church. Or maybe some of us are coming into the church, but we're not being transformed in the way of our attire. You know, we can still look good. Women, you can still look good. You can be sassy. You can be sassy but not trashy. You know, classy but not trashy. We don't have to go to church showing all of our breasts. You know, if you can see the top of the mouth of your breast, you are showing too much. If your skirt is so tight that you can see the definition of your buttocks, you are
mm-hmm.
showing too much. if it's so short that you can't bend over, you can't sit down without it riding up to almost the top of your thighs, then
you're absolutely right.
We got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost taught me how to dress. I was a hoochie mama. I dressed tight and short, and I wanted to get that attention. I was going to get attention by any means necessary. But when I started going to church, the Holy Ghost told me, you can't wear that. The Holy Ghost taught me how to dress.
That's right.
And we have to, and I will still, my daughter is 14. Amel, you brought out a very good point. She's 14. I still take her shopping for clothes because she can't. I don't want her to get the pants that's so tight you got to hold in your stomach to button it. No, if you got to hold in your stomach to button it, then it's too small. You need to get the next size up. So we have to, you're right, we have to stay on top of our children and talk to these young girls about attire, about how they're dressing, but they're looking at the TV. They're looking at
videos.
They're looking at these videos, and they want to be like the girls on the video. But that's not for our daughters. That's not for our nieces. That's not for our granddaughters. And guess what? When you put your foot down, you will not be popular in your house. You won't be the favorite aunt or uncle anymore. You won't be the favorite teacher anymore because now you're telling them what to do. And by nature, we don't want to be told what to do, no matter how old we are. So thank you.
Okay, that's powerful. We're going to take another caller. Just keep listening. But as an educator, that is powerful. You're in the school system. And, again, you have opportunities sometimes to just share. You know, you can carry yourself better and you'll be treated better. Area code 908, we see that hand. And we want to put you through area code 908. We're going to keep this topic going. We have a lot of callers that want to come in and get their insight or their feelings on this matter. Area code 908, you have something to say on this topic?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. I mean, awesome topic. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. I'm just chiming in a little late, so I didn't have the opportunity to hear this in entirety as of yet. But what I came in on seems to be right on target and point. I'm telling you, we're talking right there. I'm so glad to hear both sides of the coin with regard to clothing, hallelujah, versus, you know, what the girls have and what they didn't have. This brings me back to a case in point in my own personal life as being a survivor from rape at age 13. I was walking along in the city in the dark streets of Newark. Now, and also, too, let's take into mind time, place, and location. And also, too, maybe even the boys, the way that they dress. Because, you know, Satan is with purpose with the men trying to go after the boys as well, too, with them not wearing their shirts and tight pants or things of that nature. So with that being stated, you know, I was in a place, you know, I was walking it through the community. It wasn't quite mid-dark. It was still yet somewhat somewhat daylight, if you will, but it was late evening. So I was walking with what I thought was a friend, and come to find out he turned out to be my rapist. And in return, I wasn't dressed provocatively. I don't think so, because as what Mother was sharing here earlier, I was a child that was brought up, even though my parents didn't know the Lord, we were brought up in conservative ways. We were brought up to dress, you know, to dress well and to dress, you know, carry ourselves in such fashion where we would clothe ourselves, where we wouldn't let ourselves loose. And so with that, I know I felt that I was dressed appropriately, but what was it about it that this person, this demon decided to attack me this night by pulling me off the sidewalk into a back alley and removing my personal garments only to rape me? And here it was, you know, dark, it's at night, it's a semi-night, or whatever. Then what does a child do then? How is a parent able to protect your child for some things like that when you're, again, talk about time, place, and location, and people who you're thinking are your friends, but end up turning to be, as some would say, quote, unquote, sleeping with the enemy, if you will. You know, next thing you know, your friend has now turned into your foe, which is your enemy, but had nothing to do with what you believe the way that you were dressed. So I'm so grateful to hear that you both were speaking, you and the brother were speaking from both sides of the fence with regard to, you know, provocative dressing and non-provocative dressing. As Mother was saying, how the Bible said that we are to dress modestly and that we as believers, as you were saying, you know, the followers of Christ, that we are in this world but not of the world. We're not supposed to be too conforming ourselves to the worldly fashion. But as Mother was saying, I appreciate your testimony, how when you got saved, see, there was a change there, how you got saved and the Holy Ghost took over, the power of God did, and because you yielded to the Spirit of God, He taught you how to dress, as the Scripture says that the Spirit of God would teach you all things. He taught you, and I would say you look lovely these days, praise ye the Lord. So you're right, we do. We have to teach our daughters, and I believe our sons, because I'm not a mother or parent of daughters, but I am a daughter. I am a mother of sons. And it does matter to me as to how my sons carry themselves well, too. So when they were children, I safeguarded them as well, because, you know, boys are also being raped just as well as girls today. And I never like to see my child walk around with his, especially my oldest and my youngest, to see them with their pants hanging down and underwear out, which you basically can see, you know, their buttocks and, you know, things of that nature. I didn't want them to wear tight jeans where you could see, you know, the imprint of their private parts, and to walk around in public with their shirt out, because, again, the spirit of perversion is there. And I believe it's true, if we just open up the door just a jar, just slightly a little bit, this is how we can allow the enemy to come in. So I'm grateful for the topic of conversation today. As always, it's so enlightening here at Woman to Woman to Man Blog Talk broadcast. Glory be to God. And just giving God glory and honor to know that I'm a survivor. You know, I was raped at age 13, and so I certainly can understand and can relate to the subject matter. But through Christ. You know, even though with Satan meant and intended for harm, God has now turned it over for good, where I'm delivered, and to be able to freely to talk about it, to share and spread, and help someone else come out of darkness. You know, so glory be to God. Awesome, awesome, awesome topic on today. Such a matter that definitely needs to be addressed. God bless you for time and space and allowing my voice to be heard.
God bless you, Minister. A powerful insight. Like you said, I'm not talking something I read or heard. I experienced this. And it's just amazing as you can share possibly with younger women, even men. We're in a culture and society where our men are being violated. And that is hard for men to ever overcome. So many things, like you said, stem from that. But as you said, I tell people all the time, sometimes people are not who they say they are. And you said you was walking with a so-called friend. Yes, you're 13, and yes, you're a teenager. Yes, sometimes we may be a little naive to the wolf and the danger that is right before us, but that's why we got to talk, because our teenagers sometimes don't know. Our young people don't know. And as Brother Amel and you shared, you know, being in the school system, being in the church, just our culture. My wife says she goes with our teenage daughter because everything on the rack is revealing.
Yeah.
I mean, they want the fashion, they want the latest style, but we don't design the clothes. So sometimes we know our children, they explore, we don't put handcuffs on them, they're not in shackles. Guess what? They're going to live. But we're saying you got to tighten the reins, you got to safeguard, you got to talk. Sometimes you even got to pry into their lives just for their benefit. So I'm glad we're talking about this because, again, the church at large, the Christian attire and what people are wearing in the church has drastically changed. I've been saved almost 20 years, and yes, we're not speaking legalism. You don't have to wear a turtleneck to church, but modest apparel, you know, carrying yourself in a godly fashion. Like Pastor said, you can look sexy and you can look classy, but we don't have to go overboard. And we understand why some people want the attention, because they never had it. Women need attention. I tell people all the time, the women need the attention. I tell brothers they need the affirmation. And I tell brothers they need to be affirmed. Whenever I talk to men, especially in men groups, or get behind closed walls with men, I say, affirm your little daughters. Tell them that they matter. Tell them that they're valuable. Tell them that they're precious in your sight and in the sight of God. Give them the attention they need. My wife would tell you, I shower her with compliments. I shower my 14-year-old daughter with compliments because I want them to know that they're beautiful and that here's one male, one man recognizing the beauty that God has put in them and the affection. As the sister said earlier, you know, my father didn't give me the hugs, didn't give me the affection. Sometimes mama didn't give us the affection. And sometimes when these voids are in our lives, it's hard to move past the pain of the past. But I, oh, gross, Shabbat. I'm so glad we have a God that is able.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we have a God that is able.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing your testimony. Again, you learn from it. Now you share your story because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimonies. Amen. So we're going to keep this topic going. We got about a half hour to share some more. And I just feel the Holy Ghost. Feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, Lord, and thank you so much for sharing your testimony on today, because somebody needed to hear that, you know, that you could just, that rape is just that. It's a violation of somebody's innocence.
Amen.
You know, and you were innocently walking with this friend, and this thing happened to you. So we thank you for your transparency in sharing, and also we thank God for your victory that you were raped, and now you are more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So we thank God for that. And you and Brother Mel, now he has his hand raised again. We're going to put him back on the air. But you and Brother Mel both brought up something very important, that boys are being molested too.
Yes,
and that we have to be careful sometimes even about how our boys are dressing. This thing with all of the behind hanging out, you know, what is that? What is that saying? What is that saying to somebody who enjoys having sex with boys? What
That's
is
right.
that saying to the pedophile? What is that saying to the homosexual who preys upon other men who may not even be involved in that particular lifestyle? But there are some homosexuals that will try to win you over to that lifestyle. And if they see that you are open, you are opening that door for that. So we have to, and that was not a slant against people who are gay. We love everybody. Amen. God loves everybody. He just does not love the sin.
Amen.
So, but Brother Mel brought up a point, too. He said his babysitter, and I don't want to just gloss over that like he never said it. He said his babysitter started fooling around with him. She was about 5 years older than him.
Yeah.
And that is typical for the pedophile. The pedophile often is 5 years older than his or her victim. And the pedophile comes, not just the man, it's just not Uncle So-and-so anymore, but it's auntie, it's the babysitter, it's the pastor, it's the preacher, the minister, it's the deacon, it's daycare, it's the teacher. So, Brother Mel, thank you for sharing your testimony too, brother, and your mic is open again. We thank you for sharing your testimony with us on today, because I always say, boys are molested, too. They just don't tell.
Right.
Girls
That's
don't
right.
tell, but boys really don't tell. So your mic is open, Brother Mel.
Yeah, they kind of keep it swept under the rug. But I think, I feel that, you know, not just females, but boys need to hear it, too, because they have to know what to watch out for. They have to learn that this is reality. This is going on out there. And whether some of us want to accept it or not, we could save someone else's child, just like the sister said.
Yeah.
And my wife said, we could save someone else. And so this is what it's about. It's about caring about our children. It's about caring about the youth.
So I want you, Brother Mel, to speak to the audience, especially about that topic of little boys being molested. Talk about leaving your sons unprotected with the wrong people.
Like, it's very important that you definitely interact or get involved in terms of who, not just the teacher, whoever that person is, your son is under, because, I mean, you don't know what their background, you don't know what their lifestyle is, you don't know what they have been doing in the past. I would be concerned because, I mean, a lot of times some of them, what they feel like in class, you have like that, that teacher have that favorite student. You know, they call it the teacher's pet. I would be very concerned about that because you don't know if that teacher is giving exchange to that student for grades, you follow what I'm saying, so that student, him or her, can get good grades. You got to be concerned. Nowadays, you got to be concerned.
Right.
Not just in the way that they dress, and that's what I wanted to say to Pastor Rebecca said, I didn't say that they couldn't dress a certain way.
Right.
What I'm saying to you is they can't sell themselves short. When I say sell themselves short, carry themselves a certain way. Because if you carry yourself a certain way, then you're looking, I mean, you may not be looking to get the ramifications of what's going to happen, but financially it's going to happen.
Right, and that's
we
what
gotta
I was saying.
You got to be real about things.
I mean, with me being bullied
like that as a teenager, I was kind of like shocked. You know, I talked to my mother about it in confidence, and nothing was ever done. So, I mean, you know, we got to start caring about the youth. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
I still love my mother today, and I forgive her, you know, just as well as I forgive that party. But, again, you know, we got to start challenging certain things, certain behaviors.
Yeah.
Yep, we got to look at it.
I agree with you. And I did not make that statement as a result of saying that you were saying that women were asking for it. Just want to clarify out in the atmosphere, because sometimes men do perceive that if a woman is dressed or a girl is dressed a certain way, that she's fast, that she wants it. And even if she's fast, it does not merit somebody raping her. She might be sleeping around with everybody on the block, but she still has the power of choice as to who she's going to sleep around with. So nobody ever has a right. Well, this is what I was saying, not because you were saying it was okay, but I just wanted to put it out there since you triggered that. No one ever has a right to force themselves on any girl.
Exactly.
She could be the loosest thing on the campus, but
Absolutely.
It does not give anybody a right to rape her.
Absolutely.
That's basically what I was saying. So, but you're right. We do have to watch how we carry, our daughters have to watch how they carry themselves, and that's why it's important for women to train their daughters on how to walk, how to talk, how to dress, how to act. You know, those things are important. Again, it's communication, it's training.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to make sure that we're training, and then telling our daughter, like you said, tell her, listen, if you sleep with Tom and Rabu and Ali on the campus and it gets around to the rest of the boys, then the rest of the boys going to feel like it's okay for them to come and try to have sex with you, even if it's against your will. So we have to tell our daughters that your reputation is everything. If you have a bad reputation, they're going to treat you according to that reputation. If you have a reputation of a respectable young lady, then now they're going to treat you like a respectable young lady. But then there are some scum of the earth that's going to treat you bad no matter what, no matter how you carry yourself. So it's teaching, instruction. It has to go forth. Okay, so thank you. I'm glad you came back and talked about that some more. God bless you, Brother Mel. Thanks for coming back and clarifying that.
I'm grateful to be on this radio, Talk Radio. Again, I think everybody should be listening, but, you know, I'm grateful that I was able to share that. It was so necessary.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling in today and being with us on this topic. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we only have about 20 more minutes, and the phone lines are lit up. You guys, if anybody else wants to call in, just press 1 or call 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832, and let your voice be heard.
And Pastor, this all goes back to something that just jumped in my spirit, the lack of respect that we have sometimes for each other. You know, Jesus said a prophet is without honor. That word honor can mean respect. That they were simply saying, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Aren't his brothers and sisters here with us? And they did not respect the anointing that was on his life. Although he showed miracles, although he showed he was not a normal man walking this earth, they did not respect him. And he said because of their lack of faith, he could not do any miracles there. And sometimes we see, you know, when an old lady used to get on a bus, a young man would get up and stand up, or a young lady come on there with a carriage or a baby, and that man would give up his seat. we will hold the door for a young lady. Chivalry is not dead. We need to start respecting one another, and it goes back to that, where you can force yourself on someone, violate someone's privacy. Go ahead and take what you want, not considering other people. We need to gain that respect, and that's why as a believer, as a Christian, as a mature saint, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and allow, as you said, some scum's going to always be out there, some pedophile, some pervert, some evil spirit has already jumped on certain people. And that's why we're talking about this show today, to be proactive, to protect. To, as the young lady said, I was walking with a so-called friend. Don't allow your teenager, you know, teach them about discernment. Teach them about using wisdom. Teach them about understanding life. And that's what this broadcast is about. That's what this show is about, educating and enlightening people to say, listen, God has given me wisdom. God has given me understanding. God has given me godly insight. So I won't find myself with sometimes a testimony that others have taken. And as you said, sometimes when somebody's a teenager, when they're a young adult, all of a sudden we don't know anything. All of a sudden, you know, you're telling them why you shouldn't listen to hard hip-hop, why you shouldn't watch X-rated or ungodly content, why you shouldn't do the things that sometimes feel good to your flesh. Well, we're already, but sometimes the stuff that we find corny or not fulfilling or not fun is the very stuff, is the very thing that keeps us safe, keeps us in the path of God, keeps us away from harm. But the things that we find appealing to this flesh are the very things that sometimes are devastating to us. Trying drugs. We tell our children, don't even smoke marijuana once. Don't take your first drink. Don't even try a cigarette. Because now we see every New Year somebody got a resolution. I'm going to put down cigarettes. God forbid if we smoked the first one. I'm going to stop drugging and drinking. God forbid when we did it the first time. I got the testimony that God gave you and I the ability to lay it down and put it down. But so many people don't have that testimony. They can't stop smoking. They can't stop drinking. They can't stop drugging. They can't stop sleeping around. I hope you hear me, people of God. Only by the grace of God, I am that I am, Paul said. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He reached out to his Jewish brothers and sisters. He was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he said, by the grace of God, I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm changed. And by the grace of God, we are who we are. So if you've been delivered, if you've been set free, if you've been away from sin and from death, and God gave you a second chance, go ahead and reach out and help somebody else. Glory be to God. He told Peter, when you get strengthened, go back and strengthen somebody else.
Strengthen your brethren. Go back. Go back. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, Simon. But I pray for you that your faith would not fail. And when you are strengthened, go back. When you come back, when you come out of this, when you come out of this time of testing and tribulation, when you come out of this struggle, go back and strengthen your brethren. Amen. So we all have a responsibility to strengthen our brothers, to strengthen our sisters, to empower them. That's what strengthening is, to empower our brethren. Amen. And there is hope. As we go off the air today, you know, this last few minutes, I want to say to you, there is hope. I want to talk to the perpetrator. I want to talk to the pedophile. I want to talk to the person who once raped somebody, who once took advantage of somebody when they said no. I want you to know that there's hope and forgiveness available for you too through Jesus Christ. Yes. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is recognize the error of your ways. Come say, on. You know what? They're talking about me. When they say, you know, some you might be flinching when we say pervert, when we say some scum of the earth. You might be flinching, you know, and we probably should not use such strong language talking about the perpetrator and the person who does these sins, because they are people too, and they are people that maybe they were perpetrated upon. Maybe they were raped.
Yes.
Maybe they were molested. Maybe they were a victim of incest. And this is something that's being played out. And like Pastor Emily said, they have no control, and they want to stop, but they can't stop. And that's you. We're talking to you right now.
Oh,
we're saying, no, you're not the scum of the earth. We repent and take back that statement. No, you're not a pervert, but you are someone who's sick. You have a sickness, and you need to get some help. And it starts at the cross. It starts with the blood of Jesus.
Repent.
God can heal you. If you say, you know what, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. I have messed up some folk. I have done terrible things to girls and terrible things to young boys. And I've raped women, unsuspecting women, and I'm not proud of it. It maybe has happened way back when, but you never can forget it, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he's accusing you, and he's telling you how horrible you are, and he's telling you you might as well not try to change, because you're not going to be able to change, and you're already the scum of the earth, and you're already a pervert. And so we want to encourage you to give your life to God today.
Yes.
And maybe you are saved, but you have not stopped that old behavior. And we want to encourage you to repent, to go get some help, to get some counseling. If you're attracted to young children, if you're an adult and you're attracted to kids, and you're attracted to teenage girls or teenage boys or boys and girls in puberty or before puberty, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, we want to encourage you to get some help. If you have the urge to rape, if you have the urge to just take advantage of people, we want to encourage you that there is hope for you. Listen, Jesus is the hope of all hope. He's hope for all people and all walks of life, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, no matter who you did it, no matter even if you enjoy doing it, but you feel guilty and you feel ashamed at the end of the day, there's hope for you. And we want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. You could come to you're crying. You're hearing me right now, and your heart is breaking because you know you've done some things that you shouldn't have done. And all you have to do is repent and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. And if you're listening, you're not a rapist, but you've done some things and you're ashamed of and you know they were wrong. It's time to repent and say, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. I messed up. I did this. I don't know what got into me. And I need a new life. I need the Holy Spirit to come into me and help me to live right, because that's the only way you're going to be able to live right is by getting the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. So we exhort you today. We plead with you. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. And maybe you're a backslider. We encourage you. You've slid away from the things of God. That's all a backslider. You've slid away from the things of God. And we want to encourage you to come back to Jesus. Amen. Come back to Jesus. And you do that by saying, God, I'm sorry. I repent. And maybe you're not none of those people, but you've been listening, you've been raped, and you haven't found any solace, and you don't know how to get your life together. You done become a drug addict or a prostitute, or maybe you turned into a lesbian or sleeping with a gay man, or maybe you turned into a gay man because of something that happened, and this is where your life has gone. Or maybe you're loose. Maybe you're one of these people sleeping around with everybody, and you don't know how to contain it. We want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus today. Repent. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. We want you to repent today and say, God, come into my life. I'm coming to you a sinner. Come into my life. I need you. I don't want to live like this anymore. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. I believe that Jesus came, lived, was crucified, died, buried, and on the third day he got up with all power in his hand. I believe he died for me, and I receive him today as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer along with me, then you are saved. And I pray the Holy Ghost will overcome you and overtake you and give you a brand new life. Brand new life is available to you. I feel God. Somebody got saved, Pastor.
Amen.
Brand new life is available to you today. Your old life wife has passed away now, not when you start seeing change, but today is the first day of the rest of your life. And the old has passed away. The new has come. You right now, if you prayed that prayer with me, out of the hundreds and the thousands who will listen to the archives, if you prayed that prayer with me today, you are saved. You are a new creation. Email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com. Contact me on the New Creation Christian Ministries Facebook page. Contact me on the Woman to Man page on Facebook and say, I got saved listening to that broadcast about rape. Amen. And you are a new creation. All things are passed away and new things are come. We want to pray in this final minute for those who have been raped and have children who have been raped. I'm going to have Pastor Emily to pray, amen, to cover you, and to those who have just got saved, we want to pray for you, for the perpetrator, for the rapist, for the pedophile. We want to pray for you right now, for the prostitute, the pimp, the drug addict. We want to pray for you right now in Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the day you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, you said in your word through Jesus Christ, that if we continue in the word, we are his disciples. And whom the Son has set free, they are free indeed. And I thank you even if that person listening to this broadcast, as they are referred to the archives. Lord, I thank that you in the name of Jesus have forgiven them.
Yes.
I thank you for the forgiveness of sins for me and my wife and those who are listening, who are already saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. You said in your word to Nicodemus, we must be born again. And thank you for the born-again believer unto day. Thank you that old things are passed away, and behold, everything has become new in their life. So, Lord, I pray right now for that person struggling to get over the hurdle, struggling to get past the pain of the past, struggling to move forward by faith with their life. I pray right now from this day forward that you would give them the ability to move beyond they yesterday. Give them the ability to forgive in their heart. Give them the ability in the name of Jesus with the strongholds and the bondage that has been in their mind for so many years. Lord, allow your power through the supernatural Holy Ghost to free them up today. We pray for the victimizer, Lord. We pray for that person who has the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give them grace that is sufficient, that your mercy is sufficient, that your unconditional agape love is even for them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us as parents in this hour to address these hard issues of addiction and immoral sexual activity, these hard issues of rape, molestation, and incest, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the things that make us feel uncomfortable as believers, the things that make us feel as uncomfortable as Christians, the topics that make us feel unnerving and unrattled, allow us to face the hard topics in the name of Jesus. This devil is winning too many souls. So, Lord, I thank you that Pastor Rebecca had the courage to address the hard issue today. I thank you, Lord, for this broadcast that is different from most in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, as you allow your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we bind up the spirit, Lord, of dysfunction. We bind up the spirit of rape. We bind up everything that is not of you, every generational curse, that spirit that's trying to come down to our children and our children's children, we bind up everything that's not of you, and we say, Lord, loose freedom. Loose in the name of Jesus your blessing. Breathe on everything that matter to you, God. You wish above all things that we prosper, be in good health, even as our souls prosper. So, Lord, as we close out this show today, this broadcast today, allow that person to look to the author and finisher of their faith, to look to the hills which cometh their help. Their help comes from the Lord, to call it all joy in the name of Jesus.
Lord,
as we quote Romans 8:28,
all things work together for the good of those who love you and for those who have been called according to your purpose. So, Lord, we seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus, and we say amen in agreement. Hallelujah.
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 Pastor, we got 5 minutes left, but you said something so awesome. How in the book of Jonah, he didn't think the people of Nineveh should be forgiven. They killed his people. They did things that were so ungodly and so unthinkable. And Jonah was sent by God to give them grace, to say to Nineveh, repent and turn, and I'm going to forgive the very thing that you did. And it takes a real strong and mature believer to say, even my pedophile, even the person that violated me, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross for that person.
Amen. You have to forgive. Yes, and there is forgiveness. You know, when God began dealing with me about forgiveness, I said, no, I'm not forgiving. I was in disobedience, and I said, no. And God was like, you know, how could you? I forgave you. I forgave you of everything that you did, the drinking, the drug, and the relationships, the everything, all those nasty, filthy, ugly things that you did. I forgave you. Who are you not to forgive the people that have violated or trespassed against you? So God dealt with me. That's why we have the Lord's Prayer, that prayer that says, help me. Forgive me of my trespasses. Forgive me of my trespasses. Forgive me
first
of my trespasses, and
help me
forgive to forgive those who have trespassed against me. So it's not even an act of your own personal desire or something you would want to do, but it's an act of obedience. Amen. And as you obey God, he will release the blessing of healing into your life. So I encourage all of you listening, receive the prayer, receive the counsel today, and let it go.
Let God.
Forgive, 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 forgive. Let it go so that you can go forward. Amen. Let it go so that you can be free. Let it go so that you can move out and do all of the things that God has ordained for you to do. Let it go. Amen. So God bless you. We invite you to join us for church on tomorrow. We'll be at New Creation Christian Ministries, 11 o'clock a.m. prompt. We start our service, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. You can also join us tonight on the teleconference, Woman Power. Woman Power. She shall be called Woman. I will be speaking tonight at 5 o'clock. This evening in 2 hours at 5 o'clock, 605-477-3000. The number is 605-477-3000. The access code is 876-591. I believe that's, let me just double check it, 876-591. All are invited to come. All women are invited to come. Men too. Pastor Emily said don't leave the men out, but it is a part of the woman to woman empowerment group. Yes, the access code is 876-591. So all are invited. I'm going to preach tonight, and I will be opening the altar for prayer. And then we will go down from that place. But that's part of the monthly call that the Lord gave me. Next month we'll be doing a seminar on marriage and relationships for the women, how to be that godly wife. God has given me vision for this year for this group. So if you're not a part of the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, go over to Facebook and type in, when you're searching for people, places, and things, look for Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. Be asked to join that group, and also like the Woman to Woman to Man show, Blog Talk Radio, not Blog Talk Radio, like me here, follow me on Blog Talk Radio, but on Facebook, facebook.com/Woman to Woman to Man. Also like our page, our New Creation Christian Ministries page, like our page, and make sure that you follow me on Twitter, Pastor Rebecca S. I'm on Twitter. I'm not on Instagram. Amen. But those are some places that you can keep in touch and keep up. And you could be my personal friend on Facebook, Pastor Rebecca Simmons on Facebook. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. Know that God loves you, and he's already taken all of the bad of your past and using it for your good and his glory. And remember as you go to stay prayed up. God bless you. Amen.
Okay.